What if kittens played the glockenspiel?
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we're starting off with a question from a listener named Harrison.
Hi, Mr. Eric. My name is Harrison. I'm 10 years old, and I love to play the drum. I'm in all my school bands, and I really like your podcast. And my question is, what if Kasungle captured Alabaster Zero?
Thank you, Harrison, for helping inspire this story. Now, Harrison also happens to be an amazing drummer, and he figured out the whole drum part to What If World and played it for us on a separate recording. It was so cool to hear. I played it for Craig Martinson, my best friend since first grade, who wrote the What If World theme. And he wanted to say,
"Hello, Harrison. This is Mr. Craig. My dear friend Mr. Eric shared a recording of you playing the drums to the What If World theme song, and I thought that was just the coolest thing. I'm so honored that you liked the song enough to learn it. Thank you for sharing your talent with us, and keep on rocking, my friend."
Okay, that's enough jibber-jabbering, Mr. Eric.
Oh, hey, Fred.
Me and Ginger the Loyal have a big shout-out for Lincoln, age 10.
Our patron, Lincoln, sent us lots of awesome questions about couches.
That's right, Ginger, which is why we've been stinking up a couch real good for him in What If World.
Humans do not like stinky couches, Fred.
Okay, well, we left one part that wasn't all damp and stinky for you.
You can teleport to our stinky couch anytime,
using the magic of couchportation. Also Lincoln's idea.
Thanks, Lincoln. Now, this story is the final part of a two-part story involving the villains, Wardrobe and Grandma Ohm, as well as Alabaster Zero, one of What If World's greatest detectives, and Kathunkle, an unimaginable horror from beyond the universe, who the kids voted in as president in a landslide victory.
Thank you.
You can go back and listen to episode 334, Magic Land Part 1, or you can just listen to this quick recap. When last we left our hero.
And by hero, of course you mean me, Wardrobe, who outwitted the devious Kathunkle?
No, I was referring to Alabaster Zero,
who was revealed to also be me. I'm Alabaster Zero from the future, so I'm still the hero.
Wardrobe, would you stop interrupting if I let Baby Recap do the recap?
Oh, yes, I've got the utmost respect for all omniscient baby narrators.
How many omniscient baby narrators have you met?
Oh, who could keep count? Not me, Baby Recap, because I'm a baby. And I may be omniscient, but I can only count to Google Gaga.
Okay, thanks, Baby Recap. Now, can you just tell everyone what happened last time?
With gusto! When last we met our villains.
Hey!
No interruptions!
Oh, sorry, Mr. Baby Recap, sir.
When last we met our villains, Wardrobe and Grandma Ohm, they'd been fleeing from Alabaster Zero, who was trying to catch them with his massive costume muscle arms.
But my regular arms are still pretty muscly.
Don't you start, Alabaster!
I withdraw my comment.
Wardrobe and Grandma Ohm's only hope was to flee to a tiny old west town called Magic Land, which was protected by a powerful spell.
It's more of a squidipus bubble than a spell.
Then Kathunkle interrupted the all-powerful baby and was turned into bagpipes.
I don't remember that part of the
Anyone else want to interrupt the cranky baby who needs a diaper change?
No, thanks.
I'm good.
Grandma Ohm and Wardrobe fled toward the tiny bubble, but Alabaster Zero caught up with them, and they were all sucked inside together. After the chase, Alabaster Zero passed out, and Wardrobe tricked Kathunkle by dressing up like Alabaster Zero. Kathunkle released Wardrobe from the bubble, but the villain in disguise simply stuck the bubble containing Magic Land into his pocket. Now Kathunkle, Crema Olm, and Alabaster Zero are shrunk down and trapped inside the bubble, while Wardrobe roams free.
That was a really great recap. Now can I please not be bagpipes?
I'm sorry, Kathunkle. You can't change the past.
Yes, but didn't you just...
Time to start the story!
So let's finish out our two-part story and find out...
Mr. Eric, you're just going to let me be bagpipes?
I don't remember bagpipes being able to talk.
So let's find out, what if Kathunkle trapped Alabaster Zero? Alabaster Zero was stuck.
No, I'm not. I'm free from the bubble.
For the record, I'm going to refer to you as Wardrobe.
Even after last week's dramatic reveal that I'm...
Alabaster Zero from the future, I know. I'm just trying to set the scene.
Oh, fine.
Alabaster Zero, the one from the present, was stuck. He'd fallen under Wardrobe's spell. And now he was trapped inside Magic Land, maybe forever.
Way to make a guy feel worse.
But what bothered Alabaster the most...
There's more?
...is that he still hadn't solved the biggest mystery of all.
That's right. Where's my muscle arms?
Not that, Zero, said Crema Olm. The mystery is how you are Wardrobe, and Wardrobe is somehow you.
I could shed some light on that subject,
said Kathunkle, or at least he tried to, but the only sound that came out was...
Why, the only other time traveler here get turned into bagpipes.
Don't worry, Al. You've got plenty of time to figure it out,
said Wardrobe from outside the bubble. Everyone else, of course, was shrunken down, so his voice boomed all around.
Have fun!
At least let me out, Wardrobe,
said Crema Olm.
You need my help.
Your help?
Wardrobe's voice thundered.
Your help got us into this mess in the first place.
But everyone out there is still monsters, Wardrobe,
said Alabaster Zero. He pulled himself up, dusted himself off, and found that his dungaree jacket, now sleeveless thanks to his muscle arms, had been rolled up and placed under his head like a pillow.
So everyone's monsters, and JF Cat drank up the whirlpool, so I'm stuck here. I'll figure something else out, by myself, like I always do.
But instead of stuffing Magic Land back into his pocket, Wardrobe gently placed the bubble on his old denim vest, where one of the rhinestones had popped off.
Wardrobe, at least give me a villainous monologue where you divulge your whole plot and we uncover the secret to defeating you.
It's no use, Alabaster. He's a stubborn one, just like you, I suppose.
The tiny Olm scrambled over to Alabaster Zero, who gently picked her up and put her on his shoulder.
So, should I take the bagpipes with us?
Asked Alabaster. To which the pipes responded,
I'll take that as a yes.
Alabaster and Crema roamed around Magic Land, trying to get a sense of the place. And as Elijah told us last week, this teeny tiny ghost town was abandoned. Dusty old wooden buildings lined a dry, cracked street. Hitching posts stood without horses, and watering troughs were bone dry. Batwing doors swung into an old saloon where a player piano wound on and on with no one around to enjoy it.
Hey, we're around,
Alabaster reminded me as he took a chair down from a small table and thumped into it, feeling resigned.
So,
ventured Alabaster, finally taking in the pale salamander-like creature on his shoulder.
You're Crema Olm, huh?
The very same.
The very same Crema who helped end the world.
This time, anyway.
And got me trapped here by Kathunkle.
That was Wardrobe, and you know it.
You two are the only ones in the world who could make choices.
and you made some pretty crummy ones.
So what? You want me to sit here feeling guilty, or do you want me to help you escape?
Ooh, the second one, please. But I wouldn't mind an apology.
Puff-footed wardrobe from What If World.
Typical alabaster. You'll never make it out with that attitude.
What do you mean, typical alabaster? How do you know me so well?
Because I am you.
Alabaster stood and paced around the saloon, thinking.
That's not it. Or at least that's not the whole story. You sound actually disappointed. Like you've been trying to teach me some kind of lesson, but I barely know you.
Oh, you know me plenty well. But that doesn't matter. It won't help you get out. You've just gotta tough it up and do the work. No one's gonna help you.
No one's going to help you. Why does that sound so familiar?
Because everyone knows that. It's common knowledge.
I offered to help him.
And she's basically a supervillain. Don't puff-puff-tibbit me. I've also been helped by my partner, Feralise, all my friends on the Fur Force, my vampire cat, Tabby Tallulah.
And where are they now?
They were turned into monsters by you!
They chose to buy those suits, chose to put them on, chose to leave you trapped for eons.
They heard a stomping so loud it had to come from outside the bubble.
I am Ginger the Loyal. And I dressed up as a couch so I can lay on myself, but it is hard to lay on yourself.
Ha! All right, Alabaster. I'm gonna do you something that my you didn't do for me long ago.
What?
I'm gonna give you some company.
Why are you holding that little tiny bubble towards me? I would like to eat it. But of course, I would like to eat most things that I see.
Wardrobe touched Ginger the Loyal with the bubble, and without Kathunkel there to control its magic, it seemed that Magic Land could suck anybody in and not let anybody out.
Ginger the Loyal in her couch costume crashed down in the middle of the saloon.
Hi, I am a couch, but I also have to make bad choices, so I'm going to sit on you.
Stay, Ginger. We can help you.
Oh, no. No one helps each other. We are whole costume monsters now.
We'll see about that. Crema Oom, skitter around on the floor like a yummy chew toy.
I don't like this plan.
Oh boy, let me chase that lizard.
I'm an Oom.
Kathunkel, play bagpipes, since that's all you can do.
Ah, what is that horrible noise?
Ginger the Loyal tried to bury her head in her own couch costume, and as she slipped and scrambled, trying to wriggle deeper into the cushions, Alabaster gently grabbed her by the chest and collar and yanked her out of the costume.
Hello, all of my friends. Thank you for freeing me from the costume. You are now all of my best friends. Can I chew on those bagpipes or that Oom?
No.
Okay then, I will just lay on this couch. Would you like to lay on this couch with me?
Sure. I do some of my best thinking on couches. Also napping.
Me too, except for the thinking part.
You're wasting your time trying to make friends. That's not how I got out of there.
Well, maybe I don't want to get out of there the same way you got out of there.
But that's exactly what's gonna happen. Because I'm you from the future and it already did is going to happen.
I don't know. Did the wardrobe alabaster that you knew trap Ginger the Loyal in here?
What?
I am confused. No, I am sleepy. Good night.
Maybe I just misremembered that part.
Or maybe you just changed your past and my present future.
It doesn't matter. You're still gonna be stuck in there for half an eternity until you figure out how to escape. And by then, I'll be long gone. That's your future, and my past, said Wardrobe.
He was holding up the bubble with a gloved hand, much closer to his mouth now, so his voice didn't boom so. Breeded Kathunkel's bagpipes.
Oh, Kathunkel's got those time travel lungs. So I just have to figure out how to play his bagpipes, and then I travel back in time and, I guess, start this all over again?
No, it took me years to figure that out.
That's because you never had the power of puppy cuddles on the couch.
Excuse me, please use your puppy cuddle voices.
Sorry, Ginger. She's a good girl.
No, this isn't how it went when I was trapped.
And why does it have to happen the same way?
He would just get out and turn into you and find his way back here and trap the next Alabaster Zero.
And that's okay, because we teach Alabaster to be tough and to not need help from anyone, ever.
Wait a second. Now I remember where I've heard that before. Dad?
You used to call me Alabaster Negative One.
You're trapping your own sun self, you me, here for all eternity?
Well, you stopped visiting me when I was a cactus person.
I mean, you shot literal thorns at me.
Well, that was your fault for disappointing me, though.
Oh, let's not find ourselves back in this conversation, Dad. I thought you might have grown up a little by now.
Oh, I'll show you how much I've grown up. You're never gonna figure out how to use those bagpipes, because I'm gonna send every costume monster in What If World into Magic Land!
And I'm gonna free them all and make friends with them, and then you're gonna wanna come hang with us!
But we'll have a strict no-time paradox doubles policy.
Well, we'll see about that.
I guess we will see.
Not if I see it first.
Better start looking then.
I'll just get my glasses.
And I'll get my binoculars, which are better than glasses.
Not for reading, they aren't.
Mr. Eric, you might want to just narrate past this.
Good idea. On and on they argued, long past forgetting what they'd been arguing about. And all the while, Wardrobe kept trapping more and more What If World characters inside the bubble. Then Alabaster and Crema would figure out how to free them.
Better wipe your lenses, I think they're scratched.
Shows what you know, wiping doesn't help with scratches.
They kept arguing as Magic Land went from being a ghost town to a boom town, with everyone in What If World making a new home there.
Well, now I'm using a telescope.
Then I'm using a microscope.
Well, I've got one on each eye.
That sounds uncomfortable.
Ooh, it is, but it'll be worth it when we see what we see.
Which is, what exactly?
Saturn? Saturn, or a bug or something.
A whole year had passed. Alabaster Zero hadn't learned how to play the bagpipes, and Wardrobe hadn't found any way off of What If World.
Looks like I win,
said Alabaster.
Nuh-uh, you're still trapped.
But I've got all my friends here, and I don't wanna argue anymore.
Then maybe I'll just put your bubble back on top of the Kathafi shop and leave you stuck forever.
Suit yourself. Or, you know, you could come in for a visit.
Nice try, son, but Kathunkle's never gonna trap this Alabaster again.
But hey, don't you already know how to play the time travel bagpipes?
Said Fred the dog, resting on the couch along with Alabaster and friends.
Oh, so I do,
said Wardrobe, drawing close to the bubble again and seeing all the smiling faces inside.
So, detective, couldn't you just time travel out of here whenever you want?
Asked Alabaster, looking out the batwing doors and into Wardrobe's giant eye.
But wouldn't you just put me in jail for all I've done?
It didn't help the first time,
mumbled the Crema Ohm.
Besides, we are no longer afraid of you,
grumbled Dracomax, a dragon who was so big that he was sticking to the outside edges of the bubble.
Your monster pee-pee costumes were deactivated,
said Randall Radbot. And Alabaster and I will always figure out your tricks, warned Fair Elise, waving her wand with confidence. Wardrobe took off the magic glove he'd fashioned to keep himself from being sucked into the bubble. He reached out with an ungloved finger, but hesitated.
You know, Alabaster, I traveled back in time to raise you. I never had a dad, I just didn't know I'd make such a crummy one.
You made a lot of mistakes, but you've got kindness in you. You folded up my dungaree vest as a pillow. You sent Ginger in here to keep me company. You tried to break the cycle. And I'm proud of who I am.
And you owe it all to me.
Oh, negative one. Just get in here and, I don't know.
Hug him.
Apologize to him.
Get us unstuck from this bubble.
Wardrobe, or Alabaster Negative One, who was really Alabaster Zero from the future, who traveled back in time to the past.
Now even I'm confused. Why don't you all just sit on the teleporting couch? It can take you anywhere you want to go.
What?
Huh?
Seriously?
Oh, I should've known.
Oh, right. That was Lincoln's question. What if couches teleported people when they sat on them?
It's called couch portation. You just have to sit here and think and make a choice, and you will be there. I keep choosing to stay on the couch,
said Ginger the Loyal. And two and three at a time, the people of What If World sat on the stinky couch in the middle of the saloon, teleporting themselves back to the Sortress to get a refund on their costumes.
Oh.
And to build a new magic couch together. To this day, the couch sits there, ready to take you wherever you choose. There is no single right or wrong choice for any person, but those who gather at the Sortress exchange ideas, building a what-if worldwide community so that each of us can make our own best decisions.
Well, I want to go see Dr. Zero.
You two broke up ages ago. He doesn't want to see you.
But I'm practically a good guy now.
Oh, you are so far from that.
What if we just travel to a few backwater universes, sell a few costumes?
This father-son vacation was a terrible idea.
But it was your choice. I call no backsies.
The end.
Let's just visit a planet made of money. I'm sure there's one of those.
Harrison and Lincoln, thank you so much for your questions. Lincoln, I'm sorry I played a little trick on you there, but I wanted to surprise you by using your question to help wrap up the story. I also want to thank Ali, Nayara, Keelan, and Elijah, who helped us get to Magic Land last week with some mind-blowing questions. Folks at home, how do you think Wardrobe, aka Alabaster Negative One, could have made better choices in the past? How can he and Alabaster Zero build a better relationship now? Maybe your what-ifs can help. Of course, there's also the matter of What If World's president being bagpipes. And I'm pretty sure the wizard Abacus P. Grumbler is still a crystal ball.
Yup.
I'd also like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, Craig Martinson for our theme song, my producer, Miss Lynn, and all you kids at home who know that we cannot change the past, but our choices right now will shape the future. And until we meet again, keep wondering.
What if world? You're listening to ICANN. The International Children's Arts Network is made possible by Hoffman Academy. Online piano lessons for kids. Learn more at hoffmanacademy.com.